Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
One of the coolest things that happened at the change of command at NAS Pensacola on Friday was outgoing commanding officer Village Captain Terry Shashetti, as you heard there, invited everybody to sing. It's not normal to sing the national anthem. They usually have a performer to do it, but he had one of his daughter was going to sing it, and he wanted everybody to sing with her together in the atrium, like a sort of a crowdsourced anthem instead of a performer-sourced anthem. And it was just, it was one of those moments. And just, I know compared to some of the, you know, perfect pitch kind of performances that you might hear, it was different from that. But there was something so just gorgeous about it. And the fact that Dad, you know, like as his last thing as the CO does this.
Good morning, Naval Air Station Pensacola. How you doing? All right, so first off, thank you, Caps. I have you written here somewhere, but that was awesome. Thank you. Because it is the truth, it's not about us. Let me just get to the words, because I realize that if I begin looking up and seeing people's eyes, this will be a little bit harder than basically the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, which may have been landing on aircraft carriers at night, but it wasn't even close to standing here with my daughter getting ready to sing the national anthem.
And you know, I know it's a little hard to hear. I do. And trust me, I was frustrated with my own efforts to get better quality audio. This is as good as it gets at the moment. But you could hear there that, you know, what Village is saying is, you know, the hardest thing I've ever done was land a Prowler or Growler. I always forget Prowler or Growler. I always get them confused. Anyway, E6A, that he landed on a carrier deck, pitching and rolling in the dark, right? That's hard. Standing in front of all of the brass at NAS Pensacola in the atrium, the Cathedral of Naval Aviation, and singing the national anthem with his daughter. So hard. And, you know, one of the things that's always interesting to me, having known a lot of these folks, okay, and not a lot of Blue Angels, a lot of, you know, command staff, O6s, and officer, captain level and above at the base, is a lot of them, when they come, especially commanding officers, this is a lot of times this is kind of like their first media tour. You know, they haven't had a same thing for the Blue Angels COs. They haven't had a position where they've had to deal with media, where they've had to be out in the public a lot. And so, you know, they're a little unpolished in the beginning, right? That just is. That's how it works. And then by the end of their, you know, 2 or 3 years, depending on which position, 3 years for the commanding officer at NAS Pensacola, they've gotten it down. You know, they've learned how to do it. But you can tell it's still not like native tongue for them. You know, there's a part that doesn't love it. And it reminds me, there were several years ago, I went and did a comprehensive jail tour in Escambia County. And it was such a fascinating thing. Went out to the road camp, where they, you know, the prisoners who are going to be on work release. And went out there, and I remember, you know, all these big, tough guys were taking me around and showing me all the different things and all the activities and all the stuff they do, the inmates do. And, you know, talking about having to stop fights and help people behave and, you know, doing corrections officer stuff. And we got to the end, and I'm like, all right, who can I interview? And they're like, oh, no, no. You know? And it's true. I learned that it's true for cops. It's true for, you know, a lot of military folks. It's true for, I don't know, construction people and whatever. You know, people who do, like, difficult, challenging, very manly kinds of roles in their work, you put a microphone in front of them and, oh, no, they're terrified of it. And it's an interesting thing how people hate public speaking. They're afraid of being interviewed, all of that stuff. And, you know, I'm not saying Village was. I'm just saying there's kind of that, you know, some people are born to it or some people are really comfortable with it. And some people just, you know, they learn to.
A special thank you, and I need this episode. Thank you all for sitting with me, my daughter. That was one of the coolest things I've ever done.
It was. It really was. If somebody texted in, that approach to the national anthem is much more in the spirit of the national anthem than the performer. And I agree. It, by the way, I didn't really mean to spend a lot of time talking about this aspect of it today, but you ever in church and the band or the singer or the choir is performing? And have you ever been in church where the singer or the band or the choir is leading you in singing? Fundamentally different experiences, right? Because a lot of times they're very good performers, but church is not a performance. Church is a worship activity. And I can't tell you how many times I have been in church services where I thought, man, they are just fabulous performers. I only wish they were leading worship. John, can I get an amen?
Yes, you can get an amen this morning.
Because the goal is not to be spectacular, you know. The goal is to bring everyone into a spiritual experience together. And some people get that, and some people don't. And so I thought it was, anyway, that's what it made me think of, is, you know, going through it that way. And Village, if you don't know him, and I've known Terry for 3 years now, really good guy. And very, what's the, he's the kind of, I'm trying to think of how to say this exactly. I didn't premeditate this much, but he's a guy. Like, he's a guy's guy. Like, he's very comfortable hanging around, joking, drinking beers, you know, just, you know, the kind of guy you'd, like, go play softball with. That's very much who he is. And so, again, this whole notion of, like, polish and, you know, performance of the leadership, I mean, that's something he had to put on. He had to learn. As an officer, I mean, you have to learn that, right? And so he let some of him out during the event, which I love. It's great. And you do this often when you have these ceremonies of change of command and or retirements, which this was a both. It's not always both, but this is a both. I'm trying to think, 1, 2, 3, all the COs retire out of NAS Pensacola so far that I have been here for. Anyway.
So being cognizant that time, tide, and formation wait for no one, I will recommend you take, I'll skip a little bit, recommend you take a moment to read the bios of both my boss and our guest speaker during periods of my fancy speeches where I may go off kilter or pause for effect.
I may go off kilter or pause for effect.
It's not because the allergies have gotten me and or my self-diagnosis of low testosterone.
It's not because of allergies or my self-diagnosis of low testosterone, which I don't, it's so not him, right? That's so funny.
For those that know, Steve Pausch, if you raise your hand, he's taking side bets on length and, well, there's a couple other parlays, but you have until the end of the second quarter, maybe the second speech, to make that happen.
All of your special side bets and parlays about what's going to happen during the event, you have till the second quarter, as in his retirement speech doesn't count, right?
Rear Admiral Jeff Caesar Chirido is what we call the real deal, a great American, and a good dude. He's equipped in the ways that aviators will refer to one another and quickly summarize them on whether they're up to snuff with the very high standards that we have. It's kind of nice to talk about a two-star admiral right now. But he is.
Admiral Chirico is the commanding officer of Naval Education Training Command and a pilot in his own right. And, you know, that's who's going to be giving the first speech talking about Terry Shishetti Village as the, you know, outgoing CO. And, you know, call him a good dude. It's like a shorthand way of saying, you know, He's a good guy. You can trust him. I always wonder what happens when they're introducing a pilot who doesn't get that description. Do they know they're not being given the informal thumbs up? You know, like everybody else knows, but that person doesn't know that everybody knows that that person isn't really great.
I had the privilege to work for him following his tour as Chief of Staff of Commander of Naval Air Forces, where he shared with me how certain newsworthy aviation events were handled, specifically within my own electronic attack community, such as flights over Washington State. For discussions with Jerry Bruckheimer, Tom Cruise, during production of a little-known movie you may have heard called Top Gun Maverick, just to ensure that our profession was represented the right way. Sir, I do not doubt that you were the one alpha event.
That you were the one alpha, and in the conversations about, you know, Top Gun Maverick, which of course lots of local folks were connected to that or worked on that that movie, obviously, because it's, you know, the recent big movie about naval aviation. And so Cherico gets up, and Cherico's a 2-star, and of course Shashadi is a captain, so, you know, they're separated by 2 levels of rank. And yet they're best friends. I mean, really close friends. They've worked together a long time, you know, throughout elements of the community, the naval aviation community.
All right, Village, you got a pen? Because I got to take the low testosterone comment out. I've never heard that. I've done about 100 of these. I mean, that's like the last 5 pages.
The last 5 pages of the speech get taken out.
Air Boss, I see you out there. Thank you for being here, Admiral Midas. Good to see you. Great to share the stage. We've got some legends of naval aviation in the audience today. One of them's a PA guy. Did you know he was here?
I did. It wasn't intended for him. In fact, I really regret saying
I got the mic. You'll have your chance.
See, part of what I always try to do in these things is I don't want to just play you the, you know, I'm so happy to be here in Pensacola. I mean, that's great, okay? I want somehow to convey to you the gist of the thing, you know, the feeling, the sentiment, the sort of a little bit of a peek behind the scenes of, you know, what are these people really like, you know? And you get that a lot of times in these retirement ceremonies or change of command ceremonies. Sometimes you don't, but sometimes you really do. And I thought, you know, you do. And then, of course, Admirals, I think, saying the appropriate things, but they're important, appropriate things to be said that aren't specifically about naval aviation.
Mayor Reeves, Superintendent Leonard, your attendance and steadfast support of the military community, and most importantly, the mission of Naval Air Station Pensacola speaks volumes to us, both military and civilian employees, who call Northwest Florida home.
See, the fact that he took a second to recognize the local 2 of the local political leaders who were in the audience, Mayor Reeves and Keith Leonard, Superintendent of Escambia Schools, and particularly Keith Leonard, because that has been an ongoing challenge for Escambia County, right? The quality of the schools. And that they are there at the event is a way of, you know, we take it for granted. I've not lived in other military towns, so I cannot speak from experience about the level of function or disconnect between the community and the base. But what people have told me is that what we have here is extremely unique. It's rare to have this. It's kind of like, you know, one of the things you often have in media is, you know, the media doesn't get along with the sheriff and the police. You know, or the TV station, the radio station, the newspaper don't get along. You know, they're all bickering at each other or making fun of each other or attacking each other, especially in radio. It's really common for conservative radio to attack the local paper, to attack the local news station, because oftentimes they are or lean very liberal. We just don't have that here. And we get along. We work together. You know, I'm very close to all the other media people here in town, most all of the other media people here in town. I want to say all. There might be a couple. But, you know, generally speaking, right? Same thing with the police. You know, they work well with the local media here. Why? What's different? And the same thing with the city and the media and the base. Why? Why is it like that? I don't know, but don't take it for granted. It's very unusual. And so for him to, you know, for them to show up at the event and for them to be honored by being at the event is, you know, kind of a neat thing. Now, I'll share more of this with you throughout the day, but I did want to give the incoming CO, Captain Newman, Captain Chandra Newman, call sign Mama San, more on that later. Give her a little bit of a chance to get exposed to you, because I know her for like 1 hour, you know what I mean? And I really like her a lot.
Oh man, I need a minute. not intimidating here in the atrium, is it? I think you call it the cathedral.
She's a helicopter pilot in her past, MH-60S, the Seahawk version.
For our leadership that are here today, thank you. For Admiral Hurd and Admiral Chirico, thank you so much for taking the time and getting in full dress uniform. That's huge for aviators. There's a couple in the audience. We prefer the pickle suit, as you can see. I promise the next 17 minutes will go very, very fast, so you can go ahead and start the clock.
Because your job when you're the new person is to speak quickly and be done, right? She actually talked for about 10 minutes. I was surprised. It was longer than I normally expect, but it was really good. And part of the job of the incoming CO is to show that you understand the community, the history, and the purpose of the base. And she did all of that spectacularly well, including talking about the mission at the base. She's from Florida. Okay. Naval aviators all come through Pensacola. She's a helo pilot, so she went to Whiting. That's 100% of the Navy, Marines, and Coast Guard helicopter pilots get trained there. So, you know, she's been here many times before, but she's excited to be back and intimidated because it's, you know, it is this place, right? It's very interesting. So, and then, of course, Village retired, and we'll have more on that throughout the day. But it's always a great ceremony, and it was a great ceremony on Friday. I always forget how long it is. 2 hours. In my head, I always remember it being like 40 minutes. It's not. It's never 40 minutes. 526 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention, which is why when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Point!
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Oh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace!
You're moving better than you were last week.
Definitely.
Metamucil keeps you moving. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Learn more at Metamucil.com.
NAS Whiting Field is a major training facility for our United States military. It produces more than 1,200 pilots a year and is the home to the largest air wing in the U.S. Navy and produces 100% of all Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard helicopter pilots. But NAS Whiting Field has a lot more to offer and makes a huge impact to our local community. Tune in today at 9 to hear what's happening at NAS Whiting Field on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
And the thing I want to ask you to help me, to show me how I can be a grown-up. Do I carry my high school diploma around with me?
The Eastern world, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River.
Good morning, 528 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. The trial resuming today in the death of Georgia nursing student Lakin Riley. Prosecutors said on Friday that forensic and video evidence proves that Jose Ibarra murdered Riley. Her death became, of course, a big political talking point throughout the election. President Biden today in Brazil for the G20 summit. The first session of that opens today. World leaders will be discussing international efforts to fight hunger, sustainable development, and reforming global governance institutions. And Beyonce apparently is going to be performing during Netflix's NFL Christmas Game Day when the Texans host the Baltimore Ravens. That'll be her first live performance of songs from her new that country album she put out here recently called Cowboy Carter. And so hopefully you can watch that instead of a buffering symbol.
Yeah, if only as good as it is cutting off the mics and this feed doesn't work, feels like it's dial-up from the 80s or the 90s.
Exactly.
Did that come out right the way I did that?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. No, they had some issues on Friday, didn't they?
Yeah, throwback, flashback to the old, is it the punch out with Mike Tyson with the super digitized, you know, and even the blonde guy that you fight against, and they're like, well, that was even better than this. So, oh, and by the way, I mean, I was completely wrong, and so were all of my guests. We were wrong about who was going to win that fight. In retrospect, no 58-year-old is going to beat it. Even Mike Tyson, no 58-year-old is going to beat, you know, what is he, 29?
But Tyson did come out looking good in, like, round one and two.
But it's the endurance. And Jake Paul even said afterwards, he's like, I'm just going to let him tire himself out and wait and see and look for opportunities. And then he's like, I didn't want to knock him out, which I think is probably true, you know? He just didn't want to embarrass the champ, you know, which is, you know. For people who were betting on it, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think a lot of money was lost on DraftKings.
I think a lot of people are like, it seems like that was a little fabricated. You think?
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Pouring fuel on the fire is how a spokesman for Russia's president describes President Biden's decision to allow Ukraine's military to fire long-range American-made missiles into Russia.
This decision is designed to help the Ukrainians hold on to land they've seized in Russia's Kursk region. It's said to be a response to Russia using North Korean troops. The UK and France are now expected to give similar go-aheads.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. President-elect Trump says he'll nominate Federal Communications Commission member Brendan Carr as its chairman.
Trump says in a statement, Commissioner Carr is a warrior for free speech and has fought against the regulatory lawfare that has stifled Americans' freedoms. Carr currently serves as the top Republican at the FCC. Trump notes he first nominated Carr to the FCC in 2017. He's since been confirmed by the Senate three times.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 72 degrees. It is partly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. A Pensacola woman is in the hospital with critical injuries. This is after a hit-and-run crash as she was riding a motorized scooter. It happened on Old Coryfield Road Friday night. The Florida Highway Patrol says an unknown driver in a sedan hit the victim as she was riding in the northbound lanes. Troopers say so far there's no information on the make or model of that sedan, but they do believe it would be missing its right passenger side mirror. If you have any information on that crash, the driver, or a possible vehicle involved, contact FHP or you can call Crime Stoppers. A man has died after a weekend shooting in Escambia County. That happened Saturday on Hampton Road. Deputies were investigating. They say they were led to a gunshot victim nearby at a raceway on Pensacola Boulevard. Right now, there's no word on the identity of the victim or any possible suspects. That shooting is still under investigation. Well, two new commissioners are going to be sworn into the Santa Rosa County Board of County Commissioners tomorrow. Both outgoing commissioners, Sam Parker and James Calkins, said their goodbyes last week.
It was such an honor. I mean, to be elected as a Santa Rosa County Commissioner, serve 4 years, is... for me, starting with nothing in Santa Rosa County, I had nothing. I started with beach chairs. And so I'm excited. God has chosen a path for me. It was such an honor to serve with a lot of you fellow commissioners.
And Calkins went on to speak highly of most of his fellow commissioners. Sam Parker also gave a bit of an emotional speech saying his goodbyes, speaking with his sons in attendance, saying he's ready to spend more time at home with his family. Bobby Burkett and Rhett Rowell will be sworn in, and the board will be restructured at a meeting tomorrow. A 19-year-old facing charges for a weekend burglary. Escambia County deputies say they were called to a quick stop on Chemstrand Road in the 8700 block on Sunday morning. Officials say Trenton Devon was then caught by responding deputies as he was trying to flee the scene. Deputies say they recovered burglar tools, and the back door of that store was damaged. Devon's now charged with burglary, possession of burglary tools, and misdemeanor criminal mischief. Doug Peterson may have coached his last game with the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Lions beat the Jags 52-6 yesterday in Detroit. They enter their bye week now with a 2-9 record. Outkick.com writer Armando Salguero, though, says a source told him that the favor Peterson enjoyed with Jags owner Shad Khan has nearly disappeared. The good news for the Jags, quarterback Trevor Lawrence will be returning to their lineup at their next game in December. A video now out from a deputy-involved shooting in Hillsborough County. The sheriff's office there releasing a body cam photo over the weekend from a Saturday night shooting in Tampa after a traffic stop. The sheriff's office says the driver reached for a gun and was getting out of the vehicle. A deputy backed up and then shot the man. He was taken to the hospital where he died. Sheriff Chad Cronister says the deputy was simply doing his job. That shooting being investigated by the FDLE. It is 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with temperatures near 78 degrees for your high, 10% chance of a stray shower, otherwise partly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. Rain chances increase on Tuesday, 90% chance of rain, high near 77. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 66 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 72 in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, and we've got 67 reported in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The 10-year Treasury yield ticked up this morning as investors looked ahead to fresh data and central bank commentary after closing out a week of gains. The yield on the 10-year Treasury shifted half a basis point higher to 4.4316%. Japan's Nippon Steel continues to push for the closure of its deal to acquire U.S. Steel. Nippon Vice Chairman Takahiro Mori is expected to arrive in Pennsylvania this week to make a final effort to push for the deal, while opponents, such as the United Steelworkers Union, say they will continue to fight it. Nippon has also threatened a lawsuit if the deal is blocked. Three of the big four K-pop agencies have posted downbeat third-quarter results, mainly due to poor album sales. All agencies have seen a double-digit decline in their stock performance so far this year. Citi forecasts a financial recovery in 2025 to 2026, with HYBE and SM Entertainment as their top picks. Futures are mixed. That's your money now.
What do zero down payment, zero security deposits, zero due at signing, and zero first month payment add up to? The Volkswagen Sign Then Drive event at Feedmore Imports. Yep, all those zeros add up to savings. When you sign then drive a 2024 Volkswagen Tiguan or Taos, or the 2025 Volkswagen Atlas or Atlas Cross Sport, don't miss the return of sign then drive for the easiest way to lease a new Volkswagen for a full 36 months. And the best part? Volkswagen pays for your first month's payment. Plus, the 2024 Jetta SE is now on sale from $23,899. The 2024 Taos S, also from $23,899. And the 2024 Tiguan S, on sale from $27,899. It's the sign-in drive sales event at Feedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, but at 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Both sales price and due at signing amount excludes tax, title, license options, dealer fees. No security deposit for well-qualified customers through VCI. Limited inventory available. Contact dealer for full offer details.
Hi, it's Bess Marks with Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor. I want to read a little letter that I got from a wonderful friend, and she said, "Oh my gosh, wow, Bess, you and the Lazy Boy design team, you nailed it. We love it. We just can't believe it's ours." And that's what we call a standing ovation for our design team. Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor, Mobile, Pensacola, and Spanish Fort. Just like a picture out of a magazine.
Join Dawn from Ochsner Novant Health, 65 plus, tomorrow at 10 with her guest, Sarah Kay, on the Pensacola Expert Panel. The topic will be answering common questions about senior health. Text or call in your questions to 850-437-1620. Join Dawn from Ochsner Novant Health, 65 plus, on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Guy Benson.
There's some significant breaking news on the legal front, which is why we are thrilled to welcome back to the show Andy McCarthy.
Guy Benson, weekdays at 2.
We had Professor Turley on here yesterday talking about how this whole thing might go, how things might wind down or wind up, who knows. When it comes to the various prosecutions of former President Trump, now President-elect Trump.
Guy Benson, weekdays at 2, before Pensacola right now. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Oh, quick note before we get into the Mike Wood interview from last week. the crossings may or may not be closed this morning or later on today. Because remember, they left them all open on Friday or reopened them on Friday and then Saturday and Sunday to run trains is what I realized after the fact. Because I'm watching trains go back and I'm like, oh, that's why they have them open. It's not just because they don't want to work on the weekends when it would be convenient to the community. it's also to let trains run, which they did for a couple of days. But some of the crossings in sort of, you know, not north Escambia, but like mid Escambia, Roberts and Kingsfield are both supposed to be closed today at some point to do the other side. Like they did half it. They haven't done the whole thing is my understanding. Same thing on Archer and maybe El Camino. And, you know, so those are maybe going to close today. I just don't know when. They may already be closed. Okay, I can't trust Google Maps for this. So if you see with your eyes what's going on, let me know. And Woodbury Circle and Beck's Lake are supposed to be closed on Tuesday, according to the signage that's up on them. But again, you know, that may change. Anyway, so just keep that in mind. You're going to be surprised, but don't be too surprised if those things happen. Although Beck's Lake and Woodbury Circle, they're supposed to have like a drive around, a temporary crossing to move around. So it shouldn't be a big deal, but I can't promise you that. Anyway, we talked to Mike Wood late last week, as we often do. Mike, welcome. He's a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So let's go, I'm not sure this is quite chronological, but last week we had the first use of the Bearcat, or was that this week? And I forget, I'm sorry. A standoff with an armed individual at Gonzales Court. Is that right?
Yeah, that was Monday morning early. That began after 5 a.m. Monday morning in the Gonzales Court.
And what happened here? A good resolution, peaceful resolution, right?
Yeah, it was. It started as a disturbance, an armed disturbance between a male and a female. The female, when officers arrived, the female was able to get out of the apartment, met the officers out front, and said there was a man inside that had a gun. We believe at that point is when the individual left out the back door, got in a vehicle and left the area, but we were not aware of that. She was adamant that he was inside, so we had to treat that as he was, you know, as if he was inside. So more officers arrived. Eventually, the negotiation team, the SWAT team arrived, and they tried at length to make contact with the individual. And now we know why there was no contact there. But yes, fortunately, everybody made it without any injuries. He was arrested about 3 hours later over on the west side of town without incident.
That happens a lot, doesn't it? You have either, you know, somebody flees from a traffic stop and then you just pick them up later. Like the kind of, you know, just it, either they leave or it de-escalates or something and you kind of, you know, pick them up later on whatever. That's a fairly common thing, right?
Yeah, it is. When you have a domestic violence situation, of course, you're always going to know who the suspect is or the perpetrator, and we'll have a name, and we'll be able to catch up with him sooner or later. So, you know, this individual knew that police were coming, that they were on the way. He fled the scene, and we were able to catch up with him a few hours later.
Very good. We also had burglars at the Old Sacred Heart Hospital on 12th. Is that right?
Yeah, that was last Thursday night. An individual was inside in his studio inside that building and heard voices outside of the door, outside of his door. And eventually the individuals tried to get into that studio. They were on the door handle trying to get in. They were unsuccessful. The door was locked. He called the property manager. The property manager then called police. When our officers arrived, the property manager gave our officers keys to get in the building. They began a search of the building and located four juveniles inside, and two of which had handguns on them. Mm-hmm. So they were also arrested without incident.
And the arrest there was both for the entering and also for the possession of a handgun, which is illegal for anybody under 21, right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, wow. Well, I'm glad that it worked out. Did they, take anything, damage anything?
They, as far as I know, they took some cassettes. And at their age, I'm not sure they knew what cassettes were, but I believe that's all they took.
They're probably like, you know, in their mind, they're like Indiana Jones, and they went in there and they found some mummies and Egyptian artifacts. These things, I don't know what they are. They must be valuable, right?
So, yeah, it could be.
The other incident that received a lot of attention in the news. Oh, I'm sorry. The Gonzales Court, I meant to ask, but that was the first Bearcat use, right? Maybe I mentioned, but that was the first time SWATs used the Bearcat, right?
Yes, it was. It was the first time.
Very good. The Ice Flyers game in the Bay Center on Friday. I know you've done interviews with Channel 3, and we've talked about this incident. Can you tell me what we know at this point? Because my own opinion is that it has kind of been treated like it was this massive riot, and it was just a handful of people, like less than half a dozen, right?
Yeah, and you know, and the reason it got so much attention is because this sort of thing at a hockey game at the Bay Center, it just doesn't happen. And so that it got a lot of attention, and it all started over individuals being in a seat that they were not supposed to be in. So one thing led to another. Some words were exchanged, and at some point, punches were thrown. Our investigators interviewed witnesses and looked over video, and arrests are coming. Charges are coming for at least four people out of the six that were involved. We believe the other two were simply trying to defend themselves.
And do you happen to know, and I guess I've asked this just sort of out of weird curiosity, but was it you're in my seat fight, or was it you're in my seat, fine, I'll move, grumble, grumble, chab, you know, comment, popcorn thrown, fight? You know, like, was this a simmering thing, or did it kind of happen immediately?
I don't know how I understand. From what I understand, it happened quickly. I just don't know how quickly. I know that it started over someone being in someone else's seat, and words were exchanged, and then the fight began. And if you look at the video, there were people that were just choosing to join the fight that initially didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, and other people trying to intervene and pull people apart, which is fairly normal. And again, I totally share your opinion that we ought to remind folks that, you know, how many times I've lived here for 10 years, you know, how many times you had a news story about a fight in the stands at a Knights Flyers game? I don't remember one. So even though it did happen, it's rare, right?
Yeah, it's very rare. And, you know, anytime you have a lot of people in one location, sooner or later, there may be an altercation there. But yeah, this is very unusual for an event in the Bay Center or at the Ice Flyers game.
Absolutely. All right, I got a cop myth for you this week, Mike. My one for you is we watch a lot of TV, and on these TV cop shows, which I always assume like 130% of what they do is wrong, like, you know, even more than just all of it. But one of the things I notice a lot of times is this practice where the detectives working on the murder investigation or whatever, but, you know, a lot of them about murder, they're always giving updates to the chief or the captain, and they're kind of like the captain or the chief is like the super detective involved. There's always the back at the station discussing the, and they got the murder board up and all this kind of stuff. How accurate or inaccurate is that?
I'll split that one with you 50-50. Part of that's true. They do keep up, you know, the captains and the command staff, and certainly the chief of police and the deputy chief are made aware of the progress of the case. But as far as the chief and deputy chief actively investigating it, not so much. I mean, if they have something to contribute, they certainly will do that, both of which have been investigators before, so they do know what they're talking about. But most of the time, they're going to let their men and women do their jobs in the investigations division.
Yeah, it seemed to me more like a storytelling device because, you know, the captain or the chief has probably got way more other things that they've got to be working on than just shepherding this one investigation continually every time there's a new development. Is that basically right?
That's correct, yes.
Very good. Mike Wood is the public information officer for PPD. Mike, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for teaching us all the things that are true and false about cops compared to what the cultural myths tell us. And we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Absolutely. 5:48 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And if you are considering selling your home or buying a home or both, you know, it's common enough. You don't typically just sell the one and be like, hey, here we are on the street. So you might need it for both sides of the transaction. You want a good expert. You want somebody who knows how to get you all the way through to the closing, both sides. You want somebody who's going to solve the problems, overcome the challenges and hurdles, anticipate the problems and avoid them. And then if something comes up that you weren't expecting, you know, that's novel, which does happen. Real estate transactions are sometimes complicated. You want them to be able to figure that out through experience. That's how you know they'll be able to do it. Well, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty sold 175 homes last year, on track to do about that same amount again this year. It was over 200 back when, you know, remember when the market was kind of like, I've got a home for bot. You know, like that's how quick the deals were going. Multiple offers, same day, above list price, right? All that. It's not quite that way anymore. But so the point is, you still, in fact, even more, you need great expertise to get your best deal when you're selling or buying. And one of the things I just always think about expertise, right? If they've done it this many times, they know what's normal. Because somebody might make a what seems to you like a super weird request. I'm going to need you to replace that air conditioning unit. It's 8 years old. Yeah, insurance. And you need to know whether that's normal or not. Because it might be. And it might not be, but in Florida, because of the changes in insurance, that stuff is different than it has ever been before. Even just getting a home insured, you know, is a challenge. And you might not know how that is changing right now in Florida. And also, when's the right time? Like, you know, is it now to sell or is it to wait till January when we're after the holidays? Well, she says wait till January after the holidays. But that's the kind of thing that you get from experience. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, they'll help you out. 723-9158.
Are you ready to experience healthcare that truly cares? At VIP Care, they're not just your primary care provider. They're your healthcare partner, specializing in primary care for adults 65 and older. VIP Care's compassionate doctors focus on prevention, creating personalized care plans to keep you healthy and active. With 4 convenient clinics in Pensacola, same-day appointments, and a dedicated on-call provider available 24/7, VIP Care makes healthcare easy and accessible. Visit getvipcare.com to find a clinic near you.
New South Window lives southern weather, and our products are designed to keep the intense heat out and the cool air in. We prioritize keeping your family and your home comfortable all year round. That's why our energy-efficient windows and doors are made, installed, and guaranteed for life.
For a limited time only, save 35% off on New South Windows and Doors. Visit newsouthwindow.com/radio to learn more.
This holiday season, you can give the gift of hope, stability, and a brighter future. Pensacola Habitat for Humanity is creating lasting change by providing affordable home ownership opportunities right here in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. Together, they can change lives for generations to come. Your end-of-the-year gift not only builds homes, it builds hope. And with tax season approaching, it's a gift that gives back to you, too. Visit PensacolaHabitat.org and give today, because everyone deserves a place to call home.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Get your special sock out, nerds. It's gonna get good.
Fourth and two.
Quarterback selects.
Fakes left, now taken off. Gonna run for it, he got it! And there he goes! Inside the 10, the 5! Oh, the play of the year for the NFL!
Play of the year in the NFL. I said play of the week. I think he got a little ahead of himself on play of the year, but still pretty good. This is yesterday, the Chiefs playing the Bills, and this was a very, very fun game. This is a very close game, as you would expect. The Chiefs had, the Chiefs had no losses, and the Bills had, I think, two losses, but obviously a contender. And Josh Allen and the Bills, they just made it happen. And that play with a fourth and two in the fourth quarter, where they were already up two, and that sealed the deal. And Josh Allen just scrambles, avoid, dodge, serpentine. Eventually gets in the end zone for the touchdown and wins the game. So that was a fun game. I've discovered I've become a Chiefs fan. I'm never a fan of like a team. What I am is I'm a fan of a good offense generally. I like offenses that have, you know, a lot of character and flair and interesting quarterbacks and receivers typically is what I tend to like. So, I like watching the Ravens, you know. He's fun to watch. Russell Wilson used to be fun to watch. I mean, you know, I don't know. I like watching the Lions because I'm from Detroit originally. But I don't really have a team loyalty other than I am kind of loyal to the Lions a little bit. But I'm definitely a Fairweather Lions fan. So it's fun. The Pittsburgh game, that was no fun to watch. Not because, like, Baltimore lost, but because it was, 9 field goals, 2 misses? I mean, you know, when you get 18-16 as a win and you scored 6 field goals, That's weird, right? I mean, that's super weird. That's almost like, oh, I'm sorry, we won that game. Can't believe it. 5:54 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, multiple sources indicate that President Biden is now going to allow Ukraine to strike Russia with U.S.-made long-range missiles. There have been reports that Ukraine plans to launch strikes in the coming days. This after news of North Korean soldiers arriving at the front lines to fight alongside Russian troops.
Yeah, I love how Putin has been, you know, how dare you escalate this war? Dude, you brought the North Koreans!
Right?
What do you expect? We're just going to let you mass troops on the border with Ukraine with foreign allies and we're not going to let them do anything? Anyway, sorry, go ahead, David. It's so absurd. And
absolutely.
What I always think to myself is, what does the average informed Russian citizen think? You know, what do right. they know? What do they know about
probably
what's going on?
Probably not a whole lot. They control their media.
Exactly. They probably think, well, it's just, you know, we are the virtuous ones. But I wish I knew, like, what was in their mind? What was their understanding of what's happening? You know, are they all like, oh, my God, I can't believe we're involved in an expansionist war under this crazy president? Or are they like, you go, Putin. We love you. Take your shirt off again. Like, I don't know which one is true of the average Russian citizen.
Well, I remember there being a lot of reports right after the war started where the Russian citizens were not, you know, not in support of it really at all.
Right, right. So, and has that changed? I mean, I don't, anyway, I'm curious about these things.
So President-elect Trump has now picked FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr to chair the agency. Trump said he first nominated Carr to the FCC in 2017, and his work has now led to him being designated the permanent chairman. And
which, by the way, that's a very interesting appointment. Interesting in a way that I don't know that everybody grasps. Brendan Carr was the author of the chapter on the FCC in Project 2025.
Interesting.
Yeah, so even though I said many times and still believe that Project 2025 is not the blueprint for everything in the Trump White House, particularly on matters of, you know, sexuality and abortion, kind of the big culture issues, on the FCC, you can't really say that anymore.
Right.
If the guy who wrote the chapter for that section of the Project 2025 is his nominee to be the FCC head. Yeah, which the big key takeaway on that is Section 230 relating to social media companies. You know, and dismantling that and changing that. That's clearly where they're going to try to head the agency. So
interesting.
You had a third story. I kind of interrupted you. Sorry.
I did. Sorry about that. A deadly E. coli outbreak that was linked to organic carrots is now affecting 18 states. The CDC says one death and 15 hospitalizations have been reported. There have been 39 cases nationwide. So, you know, about 200 million non-cases, several brands
well, only
of
among people who are eating right. organic carrots. I mean, anybody who eats regular carrots.
Well, that's true. Several brands of bagged organic baby and whole carrots apparently are the culprit for this E. coli outbreak, and these are branded Grimway Farms.
Which in retrospect seems a little bit ominous, right?
Little bit, yeah. This story should have been around Halloween time, but yeah.
Okay. I don't know if I should say this or not, but I'm going to. You know, on TV and online, you see a lot of ads involving carrots that have nothing to do with produce, right?
Right.
There's a lot of bent curve carrot ads, right?
I've seen them, usually late at night.
When I have seen this story in my news feed, because of the branding of those ads and carrot iconography, what it made me think of was it was that kind of a story until you read it. You know, it's not that kind of a story.
Not about that at all.
Talk about co-opting a symbol, man. They've turned the carrot into the PG version of... Anyway, let's move on. David, thanks. So, am I the only one who thought this? You know, okay. So when... I won't say more. 5:59 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, Bella Caroli died. You know, okay, so I said that, John, and you didn't give me any reaction at all. No? He was the Romanian gymnastics coach who coached Nadia Comăneci and Mary Lou Retton and Carrie Strug.
Okay, I got you now.
Okay, and at 82 and revolutionized the world of gymnastics, right? And eventually came to America when the fall of the Soviet Union and all that. But, yeah, man, talk about somebody who had an impact on, you know, global gymnastics and, you know, hundreds or even thousands of young women's lives. Bella Caroli passed away at the age of 82.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.